You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Rayu and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
I was born into war, bred into it. People think they understand pain, but they have no concept of it. What's the most pain you've ever felt? Maybe the kind that leaves you more machine than man.
Wait, no, stop! What in the actual ass?
Dale, why are the visual effects not done? It's a metal arm. It's not like we're trying to remove a mustache. Ah, fuck it. I'll do it myself.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Youth Critic Podcast. We're back after many weeks of being gone and only having really one episode in like the last 2 months. So we're back. We're officially back. We're coming back, you know, on our weekly schedule. We're coming back in general. It's good to be back. It's good to be back and doing this podcast. Joining me today is Andy Comer.
How's it going?
Going good. And today we are going to be talking about Deadpool 2, the movie where Deadpool dies.
But does he really?
The movie where Deadpool wants to die.
Doesn't he always want to die, though?
Well,
I mean, if I had the powers of Deadpool and Wolverine, I definitely would want to die. I would never want to live as long as those two would be destined to live.
Yeah, and it'd be extremely painful to die, though, keep dying or keep getting injured the way they, you know, keep getting injured.
Exactly. They know that they can't die, so they put themselves in these crazy situations and, you know, that's when you're going to get your head blown off and then have to regrow it or, you know, get chopped in half and have to regrow your legs and all that crap.
Good news is it doesn't take that long to regrow legs. Good. Very good news. Yeah.
But you still have to wait for the buffer time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like slow dial up back in the old age. So before we get into our thoughts, Andy, do you want to talk about the box office real quick of Deadpool 2?
Sounds good. The first film, obviously, was a huge surprise hit. It came out, it was made for only $58 million and then ended up making over $360 domestically. And then worldwide over $780. So obviously that's a huge, huge, huge film. For obvious reasons, because it's hilarious. The marketing is all time. Even on this new one, the marketing was like pitch perfect. Just a super fun time had by everybody in marketing. I remember hearing that Ryan Reynolds is like, yeah, we would just text each other and be like, hey, why don't we try this? And then they would do it. And then if they thought it was funny when it came out, then they're like, let's give it to the public. So that's always fun. But this film, you know, as sequels go, and after making all that money, they almost doubled the budget, basically doubled the budget. And opening weekend came in just shy of the first film. I think that would just be, you know, people not going back as quickly as the last time, because when the last one came out, obviously it was brand new, fresh. It was a thing at the time. And it was either see that or was it 50 Shades? Yeah, I think that this time around, a lot more people went back the same weekend to see it again. I'm sure some people did that for Deadpool 2 too, as well, but it didn't quite make as much money, but it still made a great amount of $125 million, which obviously made back all of its production costs, just working on the marketing now, and then it should be good. I assume that it's going to settle just below, probably like 50 to 70 million less than the first one, but we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I think regarding the box office, I think the reason why Deadpool 1 has such a slightly bigger opening weekend than this one is, A, there's just a slight adjusted gross, and then there's also the it also came out in February where there was really nothing, not even actually 50 Shades of Grey came out the year before. So, it was just so, you know, so it was completely just out of the blue, new. And I even remember seeing it twice that weekend. So, it was, you know, completely brand new. And, in comparison to now, I think also, you know, Infinity War is kind of taking away some of that, you know, chunk still. I think are still, you know, checking that out. Mm-hmm. And then but then really nothing else this weekend really took over. So it was just, it did roughly about the same, but it did, you know, but it did okay. But did just slightly less, and I think it's because it's in May and it's just competitive. And also, I think people are, you know, trying to, you know, save up a little their one more ticket to see, you know, Solo next weekend. Yeah, so
it definitely didn't help that there's Avengers three weeks before, Solo directly after. So like that's obviously going to impact how people go and see it, because you know some people like can't just see five movies a movie every day of the week. You know, they're gonna save money and like check out each movie probably once and then buy it later when it comes out. And or you never know, like some of them might have been like, well, I already bought a movie, or I already went to Avengers. Star Wars is more important to me than Deadpool, so we'll do that. You never know.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see if Deadpool 2 does hold up in the weeks ahead, not only because of Solo, but because you got Ocean's 8, and then we get another superhero movie next month with Incredibles 2, and then, of course, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is supposed to also be a huge June release. So we'll see how it holds up, in if it has any sort of legs, baby legs or not.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of, thinking about it as we're talking about this, it kind of made me wonder like why did they, like, because the first one did so well in February, but I was thinking like why not do that again, but then, you know, then they would have to deal with Black Panther, so maybe like go for a March or something like that to try to get in between Black Panther and Infinity War. I don't know, but they're still going to make money.
Yeah, I think they were, you know, at one point when, not to keep delaying the review, but I think they were at one point trying to aim for the March 2nd release date where Red Sparrow ultimately landed. But I think because they just took so long to write the script and it took so long to get everything going for Deadpool 2, because they didn't start filming this until like later in the summer, because the director David Leitch was still promoting Atomic Blonde. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad that they took the extra time for the script, because it really shows, I think. Even though the first one they mm-hmm. like years to write it, but like obviously they didn't take years to write the first one. They had to wait until it was like that test footage came out, but still.
Right. I mean, it was kind of an on and off thing of just 8 years. I mean, it wasn't like they were writing every day. It was like exactly. Just on and off, like, you know, they come back to it, do like another polish, because they didn't really change a whole lot from the original script, from what I heard. So, but yeah. So with that said, do you want to get into the movie?
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Before I go off, why don't you tell everyone why Deadpool 2, in your opinion, is good?
Honestly, this Deadpool 2 to me is a better overall film. Like we were just talking about the story, you know, they took the extra time. I think the story is better than the first one. The only The only thing that the first one has over this one, I rated them both 9 out of 10 at the moment. Like, obviously it's going to take a bunch of showings to decide if one, if it separates more or what, but the first one, the biggest advantage that it had was that it was new. All the comedy was new. In my last couple of years, I've realized how I am extremely hard on comedies. And this the first one holds up for me still. But, you know, you after watching it, all those times I've watched it, it kind of grows on me. Like the comedy style grows on me. And then just doing the same type of stuff doesn't make me do, you know, the belly laugh like in the theater. The first time I saw it, this Deadpool 2. I'm not going to lie, I only laughed during two scenes out loud. Like, there was a few chuckles here or there, or like I would just smile because, like, yeah, that's what it is. It never got like annoying or annoying for me, or like became belabored, I guess. But it just wasn't like as surprisingly funny. So that's why I figured that people would come out saying it wasn't as funny. But a lot of people have said that it's just as funny. So good on them, I guess. For enjoying that as much as they did, but I definitely didn't laugh nearly as much, but I found the heart of the film and the story to be the real MVP here to make it a really good experience and really build off the first one and go into places that I really didn't anticipate. And then obviously, because I saw the first trailer, there's a lot of stuff that I did anticipate, but it's still, I really liked it. It's still top 3 or 4 for me this year.
Nice. Okay, so you're not actually that harsh on comedy as much as you think. It's just comedies are really bland and they all are the same. So just had to get that out of the way. There, most of them are. Game Night is kind of, Game Night and Blockers are kind of exceptions because they try different things, but
I didn't even see those two because I'm just like, honestly, I wait for comedies to come out after the theater just because, like, I don't want to waste my time, I guess, unless like other people want to go and then I'll go with other people. But yeah, most of the time I'm just sitting there like, really? People are laughing at this.
Yeah, I would suggest checking out Game Night when it comes out on Blu-ray either this month or next month. So
yeah, I'll probably rent it on Amazon or something.
Nice. So for me, Deadpool 2, the first time I saw it, I've seen it twice now, and I've posted both reviews on my Letterboxd, but the first time I saw Deadpool 2, I was very much overwhelmed. Not in the, you know, overwhelmed that, oh my God, there was so much, you know, so much laughter, so much, you know, such a good time of, you know, of comedic ecstasy, but it was... You know, it was more of, I was overwhelmed by how complicated it was.
Yeah.
And how, you know, overly, I was in that kind of, you know, kind of put me more into the red because it was like, this is, you know, compared to the first one's very simple. Like, yes, it has a very, you know, jumbled structure, but it has to do that because there's only like 3 action scenes in the entire movie. So it has to kind of build itself around 3 massive set pieces. And it's very well structured and it's very simple. And there's a very simple, you know, arc that a lot of people have commented on and complained about, like, you know, really, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds is having to, like, you know, he feels ugly, so he has to, like, confront, you know, his girlfriend, even though she probably would have been cool with it. Like, yeah, it doesn't quite make sense in the hindsight, but it still works. Like, the simplicity of Deadpool still works, and the simplicity of the dramatic arc that Wade has to go on worked in Deadpool 1. Whereas here, you know what? I'm going to just assume... I'm going to assume anyone listening to this podcast has seen the movie, so spoilers ahead. So when Vanessa dies before the title sequence of the film, and then the movie becomes, okay, he has to learn how to deal with loss, and then somewhere halfway through the movie,
he learns, oh shit, I need to learn how to be a family. The dynamic of that dynamic change was extremely jarring, because you're going on this one path and now we're on this other path, where even on this path of, you know, him needing a family, he was already on that path anyway. He was already on that path of building a family anyway with Vanessa. So,
but this time, but
it, so it's already like,
but when he does start it, he's without her. So it he doesn't want to do it anymore.
I mean, and that's understandable. So it's just, and this was how I, and then of course I thought about, and then of course I thought about literally, you know, everything that was happening in the movie. I thought about all the jokes with the X-Men. I thought about, you know, even the end credits scene, if it really mattered or not. So with that, I felt like, you know, Deadpool 2, to kind of wrap this up, I felt like Deadpool 2 was still very funny. I laughed a lot during Deadpool 2. I thought it was still a funny, engaging, you know, movie. Like, it's a fun ride to, you know, to sit through. But still, it's like, this is, you know, a little bit more, this is going to be really complicated, and some people will come out, and some people will think it is, you know, for lack of a better term, it is problematic because of its complexity, because they tried not only to shift the, you know, the story, the arc of the movie, but because they tried to keep it serious, but also funny at the same time. So the tonal, you know, going back and forth is kind of a bit of a whiplash. So with that said, when I saw it the second time, the tonal whiplash was not that bad. Like, it wasn't that egregious, but it still had some issues. Like, I still think Deadpool's death scene is, like, way too long. Like, it's just way too long of a joke.
I get that, but that's also what he's trying to, like, that was quickly wants to, so he's gonna drag it out and joke. But yeah, I totally agree. Like, they could have ended it sooner. Like, Cable could have just went like, okay, this is over, and then he just like went and did his thing.
Yeah. But still, I thought, you know, some of the emotional pieces worked. I thought all of the, you know, Vanessa and Wade scenes in heaven really worked. I thought, especially at the end, I thought that really worked very well. It's so my complaints with Deadpool are more, or Deadpool 2, I mean, are more of, it's a lot better. It's really good. It's still very, I still recommend watching the movie. It's still a fun ride. But if you pay attention really hard, like I do, it's gonna kind of throw you off. It's, you really need to just enjoy. I hate always saying this when I say this, because it always backfires on me. You should always, you know, with Deadpool 2, if you're going in, enjoy the ride of it, because the ride of it is a lot more fun than, you know, trying too hard to think about it. It doesn't, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the end, you're... What?
Go ahead. No, you're good.
Because in the end with Deadpool 2, there will always be more rides like this. You'll have, you know, more times to be in the ride. And then, of course, you know, there'll be more to come. And actually, after watching this movie, I got really excited to watch X-Force.
Yeah, but who are they going to carry over?
That's fair. And that's true. And they'll probably add more. But if this is the current team we have with Cable, Domino, Deadpool, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Colossus, Fire Fist, Yu-Gi-Oh, I think. Is that her name?
It's, I can't remember her name.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead's girlfriend. If, you know, if we have that group and that's just it for now, I'm okay with that being the X-Force, you know, because yes, I liked Peter. I thought Peter was funny. I thought the idea of just some, you know, regular dude just joining up the Force was really funny. And I would have even really liked to see more of what they originally had for the X-Force. But then again, this movie has a really good joke of just killing everyone off except Domino and Deadpool.
One thing that I critique about the film, obviously, with time travel, you're messing with so much stuff. If he did what he did in the post-credit scenes, like, since he killed Vanessa, wouldn't that just erase the fact that he could go back? And that would be erasing the fact, or his way of going back in time, because he wouldn't go through this whole thing.
It's possible, but if we go by Days of Future Past logic, like time travel logic, he still has... and this was something our good friend Patrick Campbell brought up. If he has, if we apply the same rules that X-Men Days of Future Past had, he'll still have the experiences of, you know, fighting, you know, of, you know, fighting for Russell and the thing and the most important things together. But yeah, you're kind of right. He would literally have to be like, he would literally have to kind of run through the motions of doing everything again to save Russell and from, you know,
yeah,
from being killed. And exactly. Also, he would have to run into Cable. So yeah, it would kind of be, it would be a lot of work.
Yeah, he would have to do everything but exactly then again, the same.
Yeah, which is, you know, going, which is tiresome, and I don't think Deadpool or Wade would, you know, do everything the same way.
The issue, though, as soon as he saves her, he jumps in time again, so he doesn't go through it.
Right. Yeah, he only, he goes, he really, you know, time travel. And that's the whole problem with the post-credit scene is, you know, should it be just a gag and we just like laugh at it, or should it ever be taken seriously because he jumps through time to basically go back to different, you know, films or to different parts of Ryan Reynolds' career and the things that, you know, really already should have been erased. Like, X-Men Origins Wolverine in this timeline should have already been erased. See, this is why it's so complicated. Deadpool 2 really complicates things. Even though it's a funny scene. Like, seeing Deadpool...
They mentioned it before, like, done references to Origins anyway before. So, like, they just made it a thing. And just for the gag, I get that part. But, like, I'd say the only thing that held true, like, because they said Vanessa is still alive. And I guess Peter would still be alive. But, like, everything else, I think, it, like, obviously it's just a joke. And in the comics, they said that, or one time Deadpool's asked what... He said, like Ryan Reynolds, but with, you know, whatever to make his face look fucked up. So, like, obviously he knows that Ryan Reynolds is a person, but, like, killing Ryan Reynolds doesn't kill him because obviously he's Deadpool, not, like, an actor playing Deadpool. So, like, it there because I've had people say, well, if we killed Ryan Reynolds, then he would be dead too. I'm like, no, they're two different people in that universe.
Also, yeah, and the thing about the Green Lantern joke is, like, why would you kill Ryan Reynolds? Why wouldn't you just sit there and tell... Why wouldn't you just grab the script and burn it? Or something.
Like, because...
like that.
It's funnier this way. Because technically, because to us, he is killing himself, but in that plotline, he's just stopping the movie from happening. They rush a Green Lantern.
Oh my God, what a bad movie.
Yeah, but I haven't even seen that in years. I should probably revisit, like, in a couple of years. I don't know, we'll see. But back to Deadpool 2. You know, all the, like you said, all the heaven stuff is really good. All the stuff between Deadpool and Vanessa is works so well. Like, it's insane how much everybody, these two, that, like, significantly more than couples in romantic comedies. Like, these two work so well together that, like, you actually do see that they love and care about each other, and, like, you're total, everybody's all in. Like, when she died at the beginning, like, people are like, what the hell? And it just made sense, like, that would be the driving force, and that he would go back and save her if he could, and he did. So I'm excited to see where they go with that, because I really like those two together.
Yeah, I like them two together because they just have good chemistry and you buy it. And also, Deadpool showing, like, you know, I'm blanking on the word, but Wade showing, you know, his affection. That's what it is. Affection doesn't, like, demasculate him. It doesn't, you know, showing that, you know, his love to Vanessa. It doesn't, like, he expresses it without it being, you know, demasculating. And also it's very, and also the relationship itself is very, you know, progressive, because they don't have typical gender roles. Like, they switch it up. Like, she very much is, you know, has agency as much as he does. So, mm-hmm. And that's why it really works so well. And so, yeah, when you take her out, it's a typical knock on, you know, the woman in the fridge.
Yeah.
But it's a typical knock on, hey, we got the director of John Wick, or one of the directors of John Wick. Why don't we kill something off in the first 10 minutes so the character will have empathy? And that'll be, you know,
yeah, that's fair. That's another critique I have of this film, is that while everything is executed very well, it is not very, this is a plot line, because, like you just said, like, you know, taking that kind of plot line where they are killing somebody before the credit scene so that they have a drive. And then also Cable is basically the Terminator in the first Terminator, and then mixed with a little Looper on the side.
Yep. Yep. And going to Cable for a bit, I really liked all that future stuff. Like, yes, it's very Terminator-esque, but it's very much like the Days of Future Past future. It looked really well.
Yeah, that stuff was definitely Days of Future Past type stuff. But Days of Future Past is very similar. I'm sure it came out first, but, like, Terminator's future and Days of Future Past future are very similar. Also, the way that they portrayed him once he came back, all the did up until are all direct references to the first Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he meets a couple guys, beats them up, and takes their stuff. He, you know, is looking for this kid, and he's systematically going through trying to find him. He's, you know, goes and he has a hotel where he keeps all these weapons, and he only goes there to, like, look in the mirror, look at his, like, one eye, and, like, you know, go through guns and
right.
Outing. And until he actually interacts with Deadpool, he is literally Terminator. With, like, obviously the drive, the reason he's back is different, but, like, that's straight out of Looper, because he's going back in time to kill, quote unquote, the Rainmaker from Looper.
Yep, and he's doing it also for, you know, to stop a whole other thing that just happened to him. And he's on a similar, like, motive as well as Deadpool. Like, he's out trying to save his family. They're trying to avenge his family. So it's he's in a similar arc, and I found that very interesting, and I find it funny that they did point it out, and Deadpool's like, no, I don't, that's not, completely different arc, completely different. But yeah, it's, yeah, I think honestly, you know, Deadpool 2 is really well done. Oh, we forgot to mention Domino. Yeah. I really liked her in this movie.
We also forgot to mention the surprise villain, Juggernaut.
Russell. Oh. Yep. This, and that's
Domino,
not even the main antagonist.
No, but he's the surprise one. The domino thing. I did like the like how he kept critiquing the fact that like those aren't superpowers, but you could see like they did an excellent job of showing that it is a superpower. Like she, everything that could like that was going wrong, like something would happen, like a guy would have a gun to her head and then it would jam, and then she's like, and when she's all in a perfect position where she would like be able to stop, like not like, you know, hurt herself, and then she'd be in a position to attack him again, stuff like that. And like when the juggernaut like kicked the thing and they go through the freeway, like she falls into the panda the inflatable, stuff like that. And obviously she, like, even though there were high winds, she was able to land, she was the only one alive and stuff like it was just a really great way to show her powers. And it was funny to point out the lazy writing thing as well, because it kind of is lazy, but it's still funny. With Juggernaut, I really liked the fact that they did legit Juggernaut, like, and I mean that by like comic book Juggernaut, where he's like 13 feet tall. He is literally a juggernaut. Like, no, you like Colossus can barely handle him. Like, obviously Colossus like is losing most powerful mutants, like physically and like physical power wise. And I also like the little nod where they did comic book continuity with him being Charles's brother.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that was explained that he's Charles's brother?
Yeah, because when they're walking, when the kid and him are, your head,
what,
when they're walking,
sorry, you cut out,
when they're walking into the Essex house, him and Russell, he's that Russell looks up at him, he's like, so you wear a helmet to keep your head, your brother out of your head?
Oh, okay, all right, I got it. Yeah, okay. All
right. Comic book continuity better than for the current X-Men series, which is a thing that me and Patrick talked about. Was kind of funny that Deadpool cares more about comic book continuity than everything else.
Yeah, I think that's always been a thing about these X. That's the thing about Deadpool movies, is that they're getting the characters, not only the characters more accurate, but they're getting their costumes more accurate. They're getting a lot more accurate than people will give them credit for.
Yeah, because they think it's a joke.
Right. And, well, and also, it's also something that the X-Men are, maybe, they just never have. We've always had the black leather suits, rather than, you know, the colorful
grounded too yellow much of reality. And blue.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like a glaring issue in any of the X-Men movies, but it's, you know, but in the state of comic books we're in, we should be past black leather suits. We should have at least, you know, some kind of color variety.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, oh, well. Yay, Deadpool, for getting that right.
Yeah. It's just a good movie. If you have any interest in comic book movies or Deadpool, definitely check it out as soon as you can. It's like similar, but like a different direction than the first one did. And I just like the places that it went, you know, dealing with family and stuff, because, you know, it seems like a joke at the beginning of both films where he said like the first one is a love story, this one's a family story, but it actually is true. That's the core of the film, with just a bunch of explosions and bullets
and gory.
Yeah.
Gory imagery.
Yeah.
Lots of gory imagery. I don't have much more to say on Deadpool 2. Do you have any final thoughts?
The Brad Pitt cameo was awesome. I thought that was hilarious how, like, they start interviewing him and he's like, he's not even here, is he? He's like, maybe he's late. And then I honestly thought that, like, that was the end of the joke. And when they're on the airplane, then I, like, saw, they're, like, panning through everybody and you see the, the parachute pack just floating there. You're like, holy crap, there is somebody that's invisible there. And then you see it like run and jump off the back of the plane. And then when it's like coming down, all of a sudden you see him like get electrocuted and it's Brad Pitt. That was just perfect. I thought that was great.
It was perfect.
Another thing I want to talk about, Cable. I really liked Brolin as Cable. Who do you like?
Say that one more time.
Do you like Josh Brolin more as Thanos or Cable?
I like Thanos more. I like him as Thanos more because he has... Because Cable, this kind of just feels like, and it's not to the fault of Brolin or really the writers at all, writers or directors at all. This is more of just, you know, they're in this movie, they're just introducing him for X-Force or for his own solo movie.
Yeah.
So, but for Infinity War, they had to give Thanos something. They had to give Thanos more of a character and more things to do. So I feel like Thanos is a more interesting character that has more things to do plot-wise and has more of a character arc.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Cable has an arc in this movie. It's not like as blatant as Deadpool's, but Cable's arc is not as interesting as Thanos's. So I feel like for this one, it was great to introduce Cable as like a Terminator badass, you know, half man, half machine character from the future. I think it was great to introduce him here and give him like a mild arc of also trying to accept people into his life again. But still, I think Thanos is a more compelling character, in my opinion. And that's my long answer.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like him more as Thanos too.
Yeah, it's still good.
Is Thanos, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're getting spoiled because Josh Brolin is like becoming like in everything now. So, if we can somehow get him in the DC universe, we'll probably hit the trifecta now. I enjoy Deadpool 2 a lot. I cannot wait to see X-Force. Good luck, Drew Goddard, with making X-Force work. Hopefully that gets made. So, Andy, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Talking Can. I'm always saying random things and trying to get some conversations going, so come say hey and talk to me.
Please say hey to Andy. He's great at conversations on Twitter. All right, so before I go, we are officially back. We're officially running. We'll talk about Solo next week. We'll figure out what to say on June 1st for the June 1st episode. The show will come back to its weekly, weekly schedule. It's coming back now that, I'm done with school. We'll have, some new music. We'll have some new things going on. We will start the summer retrospective soon. I'm not sure which movie we're starting out with yet, but we are going back to summer retrospectives. But thanks everyone so much for, listening and staying put and staying with us while, staying with the show and keeping up with us while we do it. Also, check out my friend Jordan's Grain of Salt show. That just came back where we just did episode 2 on Monday, and I think it's up right now. Thanks everyone. Thanks Andy for being on the show. And you can find me on Twitter at Movie Kale, and you can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHD Network. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you next week for Solo, a Star Wars story.
I'm Cable, and I'm from the future, and I like blowing shit up.
Pew, 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 pew. Reach for the sky!
Oh, no. Sheriff Deadpool.
You know, you're a lot taller in the-
Shut up, you little asshole. Take this-
Oh! Regeneration powers, activate!
That's not something you say.
Zip it, Cable.
I got the stones to help you.
No! No biting. They're done already? Oh, wow, that was unrealistically fast. Okay, hit it.
Up, you dumb fuck.
Well, that's just lazy writing.